They went into the wilderness selfish and died there. Jesus went into the wilderness selfless and came out in the spirit of power. That's a pretty big contrast.
Are you plugged in? Do you have it on?
I don't even have it on. I don't need to turn this on for now. There's a bunch of people that said something to me about water baptism, and I didn't get to talk to Pastor Don. Apparently he made a comment to some folks about that would be cool or whatever, and people were like, yeah. I wasn't really resonating with I was hearing the term rebaptism and things like that. So I don't know what's going on with that. Brian just asked me something about water baptism, and I heard his heart, and so I'm going to mention it, okay? I was starting to get the idea that Don was thinking, and I didn't talk to him, so I don't know that, you guys have been through this school, et cetera. Maybe it'd be cool to get baptized since we've been through this school, but I don't preach rebaptism. You get baptized with understanding, and then you just grow in revelation your whole Christian life. But there is people that have never been baptized with a true understanding. So you've been baptized in your tradition. You might have been baptized when you were 5 or 6. You might have been sprinkled when you were a child. You might even been baptized when you were 10, 11, or 12 and just did it because you were in a church and that's what you were supposed to do. That I always encourage people when they get understanding to baptize, get baptized once the light comes on. Wow, I'm dying to myself. Rising in the light of Jesus' resurrection. I put away the old, etc. So if there's people that fit that description, we can do that. I don't preach rebaptism in the sense of every time we get more revelation, we get baptized. We don't need to do that. You don't even need to do that when you walk away or go through a season of backsliding. You just come back. You just come home. And you just step into the faith of that truth. You see what I mean? But Brian, we were baptized when you were like
6.
6. And that can be, a lot of times that can be a sentimental thing. That can be more of a dedication, kind of the parents just, presenting their kid. Because it's all good. Wherever there's faith, there's a blessing. I'm not even, the whole christening and the whole, it's more of a dedication. It's not really a baptism. It's actually parents, I want to believe that my child's entrusted to you, your hands upon their life, etc. There's a mate in all that. Mm-hmm. It's okay. You know what I mean? But it doesn't take the place of Mark 16, believe and be baptized. Okay? So,
excuse me. I turned this on now. But who would fit the description in this school? Because I was probably just assuming everybody was baptized. But who's never been baptized in this school with true understanding? You've just been baptized as a child or sprinkled, and you really never understood and believe in your heart that it would be important to get baptized just in the fresh revelation that's in your heart and commit yourself to Him and just say, God, my life's yours. I'm just living a selfless life. I ask you to consume me. I'm putting it all down, every frustration, everything, every sin, every whatever. I'm coming up in the newness of life. I know He wants to do that. Who else feels like that's important in your life? And feels like would want to do that and get water baptized. You were baptized as a little guy? How old were you? Not that you're trying to pass my test. Okay, so it was just a blur to you.
It was a pool and everybody said, now say something back for me.
You got in the water and said, what did I just do? And you really didn't know? You turned out good though, Wiley. You turned out all right. We like you.
Years ago, my wife and I we were before anybody, but baptized each other in a pond.
You did that together as a
So I don't know. I mean, there was no revelation that there's now just a desire to.
Well, but see, that's probably the place where I'm saying you when you get new revelation, you don't need baptized every time you get fresh revelation. You're going to grow your whole Christian life. So sometimes people see the excitement of water baptism the way we do it. It's not traditional. It's full of life. And I know when we travel, we'll do a Power and Love conference. We'll do water baptisms, and there's 12 people that are truly like, wow, man, I've never been water baptized, or I've been sprinkled as a child. And by the time we get to the 6th person, the line is 35. And by the time you get to the 25th, the line is 40. Am I telling the truth? And next time and you got a lot of people getting in, and I don't say a word because it means something to the people, and I'm not here to be some hardhead, but people are capturing the moment, and they're going, oh, I never did it like that. Right. So they want to jump into that moment. And you really don't need to like be double, triple, quadruple dipped. But there is a place for a sincere faith and a submittal, a committal to God and say, you know what? I embrace this gospel, your grace, your love for my life. And my life is yours. All that is mine, I give to you. I die in the likeness of your death. So I know I can rise in the newness of life, in the resurrection of your power. Amen? Does that make sense? So, I don't forbid people. I don't preach rebaptism. I just preach baptism with understanding. So I know Brian said he would appreciate that. Tom, where was your heart in what I just said? You, what was your story? You just baptized long ago or?
About 25.
Okay.
But it was just,
the thing
church
that it was the
ordination.
You just had
there was no teaching.
Okay.
You want to be a member, be baptized.
Because we're all attaching our faith to the fresh revelation. So you can actually attach your faith to that revelation once you understand it. If you've been baptized at some level where you know you were born again. Some people say, man, I was baptized when I was 20. I don't even think I was saved. I think I just did it for whatever and da da da. And I always encourage people that feel that way just to get baptized in the freshness of their understanding. So there's different things. It's up to the individual and it's up to the conviction of your heart. It's not a legalistic thing. But there has been a handful of people that got in those long lines that I didn't feel like needed to and actually told them, you know, hey, you know, like, I just got baptized last year, but it was nothing like this. This is awesome. And I'm like, and we, you know, so, and there was a thing we did at the Y, what Mary was talking about, where a lot of spouses and couples got married. It was almost like, just a fresh baptism in marriage. I was standing right there when Dean and Sue were, and it was the most precious thing, man. She wrecked me when she talked to you and looked you in the eyes. I can remember it. I've been so many places and ministered and talked. I can remember what she said. It impacted me. Honestly, I could quote what she said. I won't. It was between them and God. But it was sweet. You would all go, oh. Because it was just, yeah, it was one of the movie line times, man. It was just good. So who honestly, and I'm not here to like, you know, don't take me, I wasn't like grilling Wiley, and don't hear that wrong. I'm not like making sure you pass. But who in their heart feels like with all sincerity it would benefit you and you're in a place where baptism, you would be qualified in that sense where you feel like I should be water baptized right now where I'm at in my life. You do? Okay. You do? You do? You're going to be here all week?
I don't think so.
No? You're not here tomorrow? Okay. Anybody else? Consuela? Never water baptized coming to this church?
Yeah, but I did it because I thought it was an outward expression of...
Well, it is. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward grace. It's an outward expression of something that took place spiritually.
No, that's not why I did it.
So,
I did it because I thought it was my outward expression of my belief in what Jesus did for me. I totally didn't do it for the right reasons.
Okay. How long ago was that, back when you got saved?
Probably about 2004.
Okay.
You want to do it, don't you? I do. I can feel that in my heart. That's good.
Something's got to change.
Honey, I am going to hold you under till the bubbles stop. No. The bubbles will stop. And I will say, thank you for, and I will bring, and there will be new life. No, Jesus. No, no, seriously, there, and don't you dare be condemned in what you're saying in any way. No, what you're saying is, I want to yield myself to this understanding and say, God, I'm yours. I trust your grace. Because honestly, honey, the days of frustration, condemned, struggling, we'll call it dead. I would be honored. I would be honored if we'd do that. Okay? It would be, yeah. It's good. That's good. That pleases the heart of God. That's good. There's places where you get like that where you had no understanding, you struggle, et cetera, and all of a sudden the light comes on and you just want to, it's like baptizing into the freshness of what's come alive in your heart or what you're pursuing. So we do have a handful of folks.
I don't feel like I need it, but I was only ever baptized, sprinkled baptized when I was a baby.
That's all you ever were. See, I always encourage, if you were only, I don't care if you are walking in a healing anointing. I don't care if you understand that you're a believer priesthood, the kingdom of God's flowing through you like Dick is. You're living this life. If you've only ever been baptized as a baby, a tiny infant, I encourage everybody. I don't care if you've been saved 45 years. I encourage everybody, when you hear the understanding, we're baptized, get it. A 19-year pastor, 19 years, was sitting at YCF. I was teaching a school of ministry on water baptism, and it was very clear and powerful on the fact that it was all part of the message. And there was not one day that in the Bible where you saw men get saved and they didn't get baptized right away. And it was preached right with the message. And I went through the whole thing of water baptism. A pastor, 19 years pastoring, anointed of God, productive ministry, came up weeping and said, I've never got water baptized and I don't even know why. He said, I just got saved and I knew I was saved and I got called into the ministry. I went to Bible school. I've been pastoring for 19 years, never even thought about being water baptized. And he said, I just want to go jump in the water right now. Well, we water baptized him. He was that. And 19 years, now he was anointed. He was called. He was born again. But here's what happened. When he gave his heart in faith to this freshness of what he heard, the grace of that truth, did you follow what I just said? The grace of that truth came on his life in a fresh way, and everything got sharper, clearer, and increased in his life. He came back a month later, cried, and shared a testimony that his life is so deeper and transformed in so many ways. From one release of faith into a revelation that maybe the grace of God hadn't come on because he didn't see it or understand it like he could have. And when the light came on, he went, oh, and he had never been water baptized, pastoring for 19 years. And I encouraged people in that scenario to get water baptized. I baptized myself. I didn't even know if that was legal. I didn't know what to do. I was so saved. I was like, and I was like, it was so intimate. Oh, it was intimate. I can't even hardly talk about it. But I just slid under the water and committed and submitted. And I went under the water and I came up, and Jesus met me when I came up. Amen. And you weren't there. There was no sense witness per se, but my heart was there. Oh, you can tell I've been marked. I'm so no good for nothing but him. Serious, I came up out of the water and it was the most intimate experience for me. It was like, because nobody was even there. It was just my heart before God. It was real. It was not that it's not real. It's beautiful when there's people there. What I'm saying is, for me, it was just me and him. It was so intimate. It was absolutely. So I don't preach. I don't encourage. I don't even know. But I know it was good. So I'm not going to get rebaptized. I was actually baptized in the Brethren Church way back when I was a little boy because I was at the age. That's why I went under the water when I did with the Lord. Because I didn't know if I was supposed to, because I already was back then. But that didn't mark my life or anything. But I tell you what, when I did it all by myself, it marked my life. Amen? So we got a handful of people. Right? Let me see how many we're doing. How many are we doing? We'll do it this week. What's your story? Not that you have to pass the test, just... We love you.
I actually wondered many times I wanted to get baptized again, like, for years. I was 13 and I was on a mission trip. And, like, I loved the Lord and my heart was seeking Him, but I thought that it was something I had to do to, like okay, I confess Jesus as Lord, check. Okay, water, check. Now I'm in. Like,
well, something beautiful is going on in you. We would be honored to water baptize you. And just say yay for God for your life, okay? So bring your stuff. That's, do you guys want to do it? Are you going to be able to be here the rest of the week? Your schedule? Is there anybody that?
Not Thursday, maybe.
Okay. Let's just do it tomorrow. Like after the break, teach a little, whatever we do, and then just do it after the break. So if you have things fired up and ready and toasty, warm, Dean will love you all the more. So. Or we can go break ice somewhere and really get a radical revelation. we can freeze the old man right out. Ah! Lift you out and he'll be in the water. The old man will be toasted, baby. Might be better. Let's break some ice somewhere. Who wants to do that? All the people not getting baptized, say amen! Yeah! That's what they do in Alaska. They go up there and just get in, man. Oh, them kids. I said to the one girl, she's walking around in a swimsuit. It was 50. It was drizzling and breezy. And she's swimming. And I said, what is, like, wrong with you? And she said, oh. She said, you think it's cold? And I'm like, no, I don't think it's cold, honey. It's cold. I'm not thinking. It's not an opinion issue. She said, well, you're from Pennsylvania. She said, we're Alaskans. And she ran right in and dove. I went, oh. That's just what she did. She said, well, you're a Pennsylvanian. We're Alaskans. I was like, oh, my goodness. And she swam out and sat on the dock in the wind. It's like, help her, Jesus. They had me in that water. I got in for the kids. I figured if Jesus hung on the cross, I could get in the water. So I got in the water with them because they all pleaded with me. And we did that blob thing, jump off and throw the kids a mile in the air. It was just fun. But I was in there 2.5 hours with those kids, swimming. My body was tingling. Oh, no. The water was, I think, under 50 degrees. It was about 48, close to 50, but I don't know if it was 50. Now, you know, you watch the news, they tell you you'll die. In that water. So that's why I'm thinking that's baptizing, because if you'll die, that's the whole point. So we baptize and then we know it sticks, right? Faith or no faith, die. No bubbles, I'm telling you. You are under. Don't even try to hold your breath, because you're gone. No. I got you. You're all mine. Me and Jesus got you covered, girl. That wrestling when you're under there will just be symbolic of the way it's been. And we're going to say, it's the end of that, you know. I love you so much. Watch this. I love you so much that I'm going to hold you under that long. No. That'll just be prophetic. That'll be just the end to the way it's been. And when things go limp and go dead, now we're ready to roll. And that's the way the rest of your life will be. Think about that. Come on, can you hear what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be good? So, we love you that much. We love you that much, Consuela. So, the only help I need in the pool tomorrow is if somebody needs to help me to hold her. That's, other than that, I got everybody covered. So, Caleb, you can help me. You can. No, I don't need any help getting in, but bring your stuff. That way they won't have to wash stuff here. Just bring your own stuff. Bring a towel. Ladies, if there's any girls doing it, bring loose fit and dark colored stuff. Just discreet stuff. You understand. Yeah. So you got it, right? Guys, just do the same. Just use wisdom in that area. Amen. God, we love you. We really do. Wow, I can't believe we're in the last week of the school. Thanks, Father. I want to talk about gifts just for a little bit today, and also give you opportunity if you still had some more questions. I'd like to get questions that are pertinent and pressing in your heart wrapped up if we can. I know they take a long time to answer, but they open up a lot of good stuff, so. Father, we just thank you right now for being here. We just thank you for the joy time we've had, just the fun, the laughs, the getting to know one another, a lot of the relationships that have been built here in the last bunch of weeks. Just thanks. Thanks that we teach on fasting and then we feast every day. It's my fault too. I bring the bologna. So, no, we love you. We thank you for the joy in our hearts. We just thank you that you're revealing who you are to us more and more, and therefore we can only see more and more who we've become because of your great love. So Father, just thank you. Thank you even for these last couple of days, just being some just real special, imparting, impacting. And just thank you for the grace to live this truth. You know, you might want to do that in your own heart and believe it's possible right now and get personal and say, God, you know, there's been a lot of truth that's come into my ears, into my head, and I know into my heart. And I thank you for the grace to live this truth. I'm not like just in a heavy place now and more responsible and accountable because of the things I've heard. There seems to be a truth there, of course, but it's not a heavy thing. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. You're with us. Your grace is for us. Your love never fails. So, Father, thank you for the grace to become and live every truth that we've heard uttered by your Spirit. And just thank you for building us up in you. Father, I bless every one of these students, and I just thank you for your amazing love. Let today be filled with wisdom and understanding. Certainly your joy, your love, your peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm just going to do this kind of short and sweet. I'm not going to get into a long thing with the gifts, and there's a reason. Okay? So don't be like, oh. We have so much teaching. Who's had teaching on the gifts and on prophecy? And who's ever been through teaching on prophetic stuff or words of knowledge? You know, there's a lot of folks. I'm convinced that the gifts flow out of spontaneously because of my own experience, of course. But I just believe they're all encompassed in the person of Holy Spirit. He has every one. He's not lacking anything. Like, he's not desiring the best gifts. They're in him. They're who he is, right? So, okay, good. Wow. I just got a command from on high. I just heard this. He said, Dan, talk a little about fellowshipping with me and relating with me, communing with me, meaning the person of Holy Spirit. Just spoke that to me right while I was walking past the podium there. It was so cool. It wasn't just a thought, hey, I could teach this. I promise you, it was the Spirit of God. I don't have to qualify that, but I know Spirit of God just said, teach him about that, and the importance of that. Two places in the Bible. Like, I talk to the Father, I talk to Jesus, and I talk to Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is predominantly the one whose voice you hear. He represents the Father, the Son. He speaks on behalf of both. Jesus says this in the scripture. He doesn't speak on his own authority, but that which he hears. So he's directly communicating the Father's will and wisdom and heart to us in relationship. So the person of Holy Spirit is with us and in us. And he represents the person of the Father. Because you could get theological and technical, and you could say, well, how can God be on the throne in Jesus' right hand? And in John 14, he says, me and the Father are coming to live in you. I thought they're at the throne in the right hand. You can get real lineal on all that stuff and rigid and intellectual. They're encompassed in the person of Holy Spirit. Corinthians actually says the Lord is the Spirit. Well, I thought the Lord was Jesus. Well, it's the Spirit of the Lord. It's not hard. The Lord is the Spirit. So they're one in the same. They're three in one. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But I promise you, most of the experiences you have in the Lord, the voice of the Lord that you hear, the unctions, the impressions, the discernments are flowing through the person of Holy Spirit. And he really is our best friend. Okay? I've had him speak to me on behalf of Jesus, on behalf of the Father. I've had the presence, the majesty of the Father come to me and speak, and it was actually obvious to me it was God Almighty. But I still believe it's through the agent and avenue of Holy Spirit. He just manifests that way. But I've had Holy Spirit talk to me first person and reference Jesus and the Father,
which is amazing to me.
Like one time when my wife was burned, he said, Dan, meaning Jesus, he really likes it. He made it personal. He was speaking as the Holy Spirit on behalf of Jesus to me. It's just cool to me. And, he said he really likes it when his people go for the finished work, et cetera, et cetera. So they're one, but don't forget they're three, but they're one. It's cool. Two places Paul talks about fellowship, communion, koinonia, communion, fellowship. Co-union with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13, the end of the chapter, and Philippians chapter 2. fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Direct phrase. If there be any fellowship of the Holy Spirit, make my joy complete by being of like mind, et cetera, et cetera. One faith, one spirit, right? Which means the fellowship and union of Holy, the true communion of Holy Spirit. If Dean and John and Dick and Justin and myself are having a true fellowship and communion with Holy Spirit, there's a sense of oneness that'll be spontaneously birthed in us without us. We'll just be on the same page in many areas of our life just through that true communion, because He's the same God. Do you understand that? You'd be amazed how that works if we'll all just continue to pursue fellowship with Him. In our own personalities, dispositions, giftings, callings, niches in life, whatever, we'll still have a real great commonality and wake up for the same reasons and live for the same expressions, meaning His glory, His presence, because that's where Holy Spirit's going to lead us to. So I want to encourage you in this first, before we talk about any gifts, getting familiar with the person of Holy Spirit in your life, not in the sense of familiarity, but knowing who He is. Don't be afraid to talk to Him as a person. Holy Spirit, I appreciate You in my life. Holy Spirit, I thank You. You reveal Christ unto me. You lay on your bed in the morning. Holy Spirit, I so appreciate. I don't reference books a lot, but there is a good book out there that I read years ago. I can count on my fingers the Christian books I've read in 15 years. So I'm not a real big book reader. I love the Word of God, and I love the revelation that comes through Holy Spirit. I'm not a real big book reader, but Good Morning Holy Spirit's a very good book. Benny Hinn wrote it. Yep. And it's a real good book. And there's some sections in there that are very clear about communing with Him, appreciating Him. You're in my life to reveal Christ to me. You're my best friend. You'll never steer me wrong. I totally trust You. I put all my trust in You, and I thank You that I hear Your voice. I thank You that You lead me in truth. Thank You that You show me things to come. Holy Spirit, You're awesome. Thank You. Everything I need today is in You. Thank You to see others clearly and to see the value of people all comes through Your discernment. I yield to You, and I thank You. We've become one. It's scriptural. Some people get so rigid, they know we're only supposed to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. That's like in an asking prayer. You're praying to the Father for things in Jesus' name. You have access to the Father through the Son. That's why He says that. He wants you to see the relationship. He's the mediator to the Father. But Paul wrote by inspiration of the Spirit that we all have fellowship with Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 13, he says this, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father, and the fellowship of Holy Spirit be with you all. Look up the word. It's communion. It's probably koinonia. It's the fellowship, the co-union of Holy Spirit. It's very important. That's why, do you think, when we talk about praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, why would that edify you? Because the awareness of His presence, the awareness of His habitation, the awareness that there's one living on the inside of you and He speaks. Right? Not to men, but remember what we learned? But to God. So, in your fellowship with Holy Spirit, I believe the gifts are released when they're needed. And like I said yesterday, you don't even have to totally understand them. I think one of the coolest things about God is we live by grace. And as we get to know Him, who He is just starts to manifest through our lives. And it's a learning experience, and it's fresh for you because you're like, that was so cool. Or, oh, and you know it's God. You know what I mean? And these things were happening to me in my own life like rapidly when I got saved. Because honestly, you have no idea the communion of Holy Spirit that I entered into. I mean, I wouldn't even come out of my bedroom, guys. I work second shift. I would wake up and I was so hungry for truth that I wouldn't even come out of my bedroom. I'm serious. I would barely come out of my bedroom. My mind would start saying, look, you need to do this. You need to do this. I didn't forsake things. I didn't let things go away in that sense in my life and say, hey, I'm seeking God and let everything around me fall apart. But I was in no hurry to come out of my bedroom. I honestly ended up turning the clocks to the wall because the time was trying to speak to me. I did that for weeks and weeks and I wouldn't even come out. I left the song on CD, Jesus Friend Forever, play for hours on end, on repeat. Now, I'm not telling you to get that CD and go do that. That was my revelation. That meant something to me. And I would sit there sometimes for an hour and a half, and that song would just play, and I'd listen to it and cry and just let it soak in me that I had a friend forever. Just that one thought right there transformed my life. You have no idea. See, some of these things I got to share with you so you see why I'm so messed up half the time. When I talk, can you tell how emotional I feel inside when I try to talk about this stuff? It's in me. It's real. It's not my knowledge. When I talk about this topic, He holds me the whole time. I feel the Lord hold me the whole time when I talk about this intimacy stuff. Sometimes I feel Him come around me from behind and hug me and just hold me. When I talk about identity, that always happens. He comes in and He just squeezes me like that. And that's why you see me get way I do, and I'm trying to like, later, I need to talk. And He's like, and it's just fun. I'm aware of Him. He's in me. We're best friends forever. But I have sat on my bed with no agenda, no agenda, no need to change myself and get this. I gotta get this. Come on. Total aware of grace, no works, no strain. Yoke is easy, burden's light. Just sit on my bed, not in a hurry. Just want to know You was the motive of my heart. I just want to know You. If I sit here with a heart to know You, Your grace will touch that. I'm going to leave this room, whether I realize or not, knowing You more. But somebody's going to see that I've been with You. That's the faith that was in my heart. Because if I seek You in the secret, You'll see me there and reward me in the open. I'm only seeking You. I'm not seeking riches. I'm not seeking fame. I'm not seeking whatever people seem to seek. I'm seeking You. I must know You. And I would let that CD play because it meant something to me, Friend Forever. Every once in a while I'll hear that song and it's like, it's really hard for me to get through that song. Because it has such meaning to me, because it has such a season in my life of cultivating. But I would sit there and I would listen to those words and it would just hit me and soak into me that I could totally trust God, that watch what would come up in me. That fearing is over. Once and for all, that anxiety is settled, that God, even if I don't understand and see out in front of me very far, You're here now. I'll never be alone again. And I'm just, and see, you think, but you got a wife, you got kids. No, of course you'll never be alone. Well, some of you don't even know that for years, right after I got saved, my wife was in serious identity crisis for years. My wife wouldn't even come out of the house for a bunch of years, hardly. My wife didn't want to live for a couple of years. I would tell my wife who she was, and she'd say, "You're just saying that because you're supposed to." That's how deceived. And it seemed like I had no ability to minister to her. I'd pray and intercede and pray, and it just seemed like she wouldn't see, and God walked her through that. And she's actually doing really good. But God walked her through that, but that was almost a 6-year period. In that 6-year period, that would crush most people that have a spouse in that position. I'm just being real. And would need ministry and be in all kinds of prayer chains. And God, You got to touch my wife. You got to change my wife. And all of a sudden, the state of your wife becomes the state of your own soul. And then you get twisted and say, but we're one. And it's affecting. And I'm not, until she's, I can't be. That's all lies. Nothing kept me from Him. The best place I could be was here. I grew so much in that season and knew God so much through that season. And nobody realized and ever had a clue because I wouldn't tell anybody. Nobody knew what was going on under my roof. Nobody. They might have had impressions of something or ideas or where's Kim, blah, blah, blah. But nobody knew the extent of it. Nobody had a clue. Nobody had a clue. It was just Satan coming to try to crush her identity in the midst of God coming in to transform things. And don't know how I could have avoided it. Never got understanding on how to, I won't get condemned. One thing I won't do is do what a lot of the church does. Well, brother, if you interceded right or if you this or that, I would have never da 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 da. And we're constantly putting yokes on one another. Constantly. So that if something's not clean and clear in our life, then there's something we're doing wrong. Wonder if it's just affliction. Wonder if it's just there to get your soul in that place and put strongholds on you. because we're constantly introspecting and coming out with negative resumes. I can honestly tell you that's one thing I've never done since I've been saved. I've never allowed that. That's my conscience is clear before God. He's a father to me. If there's something I need to know, He'll speak to me in relationship. He's not keeping me in the dark now that He's shined the light. Come on. But if I don't grow in that relationship and learn that and get that confidence in my heart, I might listen to the Christian language that is actually most of the time very, very, very outside the loop of truth. We actually sound like Job's friends in the church all the time. Did you ever notice that? Did you ever read Job's friends and find out what God said about? Did you ever notice we say the same things that Job's friends said? And that's after Christ has come. Whoa. Think with me. That's why you see intensity in the impassioned, because I know what I'm saying is true, because I've lived through, I don't even tell, people would call me, it was funny to me when I was pastoring, people could call me broken over things that weren't even a fraction of what I was experiencing. And they were calling me for help, and I understood why, because I was so okay. Sleeping well every night, at peace, not in fear for my spouse, knowing that somehow, some way it was going to work out. Jesus is Lord. Not, oh my God, you got to do something. God, you got to, where are you, God? How long, Lord? Nope. Sitting in my bedroom with the clocks to the wall and my little CD playing. Friend forever. I could get in trouble here. I gotta watch it. Are you following my heart? The best thing you could do is get to know Him like that and not be in a hurry. I'm gonna make a real honest statement. Of course I can. You don't need any more knowledge in your lives. Not one of you in this room. You don't need another sermon. You have enough in you to transform the world if it becomes our reality. It's true. I think what the school was all about is just to get such a conviction in us that unless we're living from the place of knowing Him, being known by Him, our knowledge is going to be knowledge. But it's never intended to take the place of knowing Him, your knowledge. Is it helpful? Is it useful? Yeah. We're to grow in these things and grow up into Him in all things. But I promise you, it's through knowing Him. It's through relationship. That's why I don't feel like I'm even supposed to talk much about the gifts in a way where you're pursuing the gifts separately from knowing Him. If all the gifts are encompassed in the person of Holy Spirit and He has them all, then you have them all. True?
Yes.
So go to 1 Corinthians 14 with me. We've been in here before. We're just going to look at the first line or two. 1 Corinthians 14. Is it right to desire spiritual gifts? Absolutely. Are we chasing after gifts? No, it's right to desire them. But I want you to see the order of it. Okay? You ready? I'm going to back you up like one verse. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abide faith. See, don't ever let go of faith. It's where you live from, faith. Anyone that comes to God must first believe that He is. Amen? Faith. Hope. And love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. We've talked about this and talked about in this school. The whole goal of our instruction, 1 Timothy 1:5, is love. Through a pure heart. A pure heart. So you have to be sincere. You have to sincerely want change in your life. You have to sincerely not want to live for yourself. You have to sincerely want Jesus to be the dominating source, wisdom, and factor in your life. You have to be serious about that and sincere. It's not a good thought. I'm talking just sincere. When I'm sitting on that bed, I am so not striving when that CD's playing because I'm sincere. I can't change me. I can't bite my lip hard enough to know Him more. Right? But I can sincerely want to. And I'm not in a hurry. I let that thing play. Oh, man, I could tell you so many experiences. I just don't talk about them because then people try to have them. It's a paradox to me what we do with some of that stuff. See, because it's in seeking Him and just being content to know that you're pursuing Him in your hearts. Godliness with contentment's great gain. I'm not going to strive. I'm not going to get into works in your presence, God. I'm going to sit here because I want you, and you're going to reveal yourself to me. You're going to flood my heart with who you are. Flood my mind with your reality. Anything that needs to transform in me. See, that's why I'm sitting there. That's the faith in my heart. Anything that needs to transform in me will be transformed in the love that you have for me and the grace that abounds. And Jesus, you're my friend forever. And you're closer than anything. It's love greater than a mother, greater than a brother. You're the Lord my God. So all those thoughts are alive in you. And it's amazing how grace will meet that place and make it yours. Or you're sitting and you're caught up in all kinds of tensions. And what about this? And what people said? And what about tomorrow? And Jesus said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Tomorrow is going to have enough of its own to face. Man, you live today. Tomorrow's got enough of its own. Come on. So some of this striving stuff, even to know Him, crosses lines. Well, oh, but I just gotta, but I need more. No, you have everything you'll ever need right on the inside of you, encompassed in the person of Holy Spirit. Get to know Him and you'll get to know you. Is that a good thought? You get to know Him and you'll get to know you. Really? I think so many of us see ourselves apart from Him in our pursuit of Him. Come on, this is profound what I'm saying right now. It's coming in my spirit to say it this way. Because I don't just always say things the same. A lot of times in our pursuit of Him, the desperation is because we're seeing ourselves so apart from Him. It's how we started the school. Don't ever let teaching expose where you're not. Let it inspire where you're heading. You follow me? One of the backwards things we do is we listen to a sermon that's full of life and conviction. We go, oh, brother, I got a long way to go. No, are you kidding? You got a wide open door of where you're going. It's always edifying. If you're not hearing in an edifying way, you're not hearing by the Spirit of the Lord. God's not smacking you down. He's lifting you up. And in the process, He might expose a lot of lies and limitation and weakness. But He always points to the way. Some of the most convicting sermons you've ever heard in your life are designed to take you there, not show you where you're not. So even in your relationship and seeking God, the reason we struggle so much is because we get in a room and we're more conscious of us and who we're not. And that's why we're in the room, because I sure need you, Lord. You will never meet Him, probably, in that place, unless mercy just invades your room. But it's unlikely that that's the place you'll meet Him, because God doesn't want to teach you and empower you to live from that place. See, God, we put Him in a place sometimes where He wants to do things, but if He does it under the way that we're pursuing, He'll enable us to stay the same and not change. And we'll think that's the way God works. Are you following? It is a good word. Because He's a good father. He's a good father. He doesn't have spoiled kids. He's the best. And the strength of His love empowers Him to do that. The truth of love empowers Him to do that. So what He wants to do, first of all, He wants the pressure off of you. So if you feel pressured to grow and know God more, that's a trap already. You're privileged and encouraged to know God more. The door's open wide. It's not about, yeah, but I'm not getting it fast enough, brother. Shh. He's already in you. You're coming to the knowledge of truth. You need to start there, guys. It's amazing. I know this seems to sound like a basic back to the beginning of the class, but this is something that you need to stay sharp in and not be pulled away from your whole Christian life. These things are so real in me. You're going to see me in peace every time you see me. I'm going to have joy every time you ever see me. Who's ever seen me when I wasn't encouraged and excited about Jesus? who's ever seen me not excited about Jesus ever since you've known me. Am I boasting on me now? I'm making a point. There's a reason. It's what he's done to my eye. When I shared that little window, and I didn't even go into any detail about my wife, it was a 6-year period. From 99 to about 205. It was pretty intense. You would have never known meeting me at the gas pump. I didn't wear that on my face. I wore him. Which meant I didn't see that for the way it seemed to the flesh.
Come on. You get it?
Remember those voices I was hearing before my wife had that seizure and went into the coma and I'm going to take her, etc.? That was on the heels of that season. It was right on the very end of that season where it would say, look, this is what the voice said. She's really holding you back. I'm just going to take her with me, take her, because it's really hard for her to be here and she's not seeing. And it would just be a liberty to the call I have on your life. I was talking like that as if it was God. It'll be a freedom on your life and calling. You'll be able to run faster. You won't have to look back and hold back. You won't have to be concerned with the affairs of a wife. It would be easier if I just take her. I was hearing that for 2 months in my head. If you don't know Jesus, it was so crafty. There's a lot of words she's speaking. And because of the reaping and sowing and the power of life and death in the tongue, there's things that have to come upon her, Dan. And rather than suffer through them, it would be easier if I take her. Now, I'm being real with this thing now. I'm getting a little exposing. And I was hearing that on my way in a lot of times, Dick, to pray. When I was spirit-minded and conscious, that voice would come then because it was appearing to be God then. It was so strategic. So crafty and subtle. Don't they sound like words for the devil? Sneaky, crafty, subtle, deceptive. And if you don't have a healthy identity and you're not filled with the word, that voice starts making sense to you. I'm telling you, I believe my heart is full of the word of God. I do. I believe it is. The Lord prophesied over me through Phil Cappuccio one time, and he said, because you filled your heart with my word, son. And I don't know if you know Phil, but he's awesome. That's just how he says it. Because you filled your heart with my word, son. Wham! It sounded a little like you do. That's how he prophesies. He's awesome. It was the first time that I ever knew God spoke over me through a human being. When Phil prophesied over me. And guess what he prophesied? If you'd listen to the prophecy, it would be like, wow, because it's everything that my life is doing right now. He said, I've got you on the lathe and I'm breathing away the sawdust. And it's several years from now, but I'm going to put you in my bow and I'm going to shoot you like an arrow and put the map of the nation in your heart. And you will go from city to city, from state to state, and you will sow seed and stir up fire and ba, 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 ba. Now it's several years from now, son, you're still in a preparation process, but but guess why he said one of the reasons he was doing it? Because I filled my heart with his word. You say, well, that sounds like works then. Nope. What he was saying is, you have so prepared yourself by filling yourself with truth that I'm going to express that truth that's become real to you to the world around you. That truth is what brought me through. Now, my mind was listening to this thing talk, and I'm feeling like it's God because it was talking from the Lord, as if it was the Lord. First person from the Lord. I never out loud prayed about it. I pondered in my heart and I listened. And I would go and I would just pray. And I never even brought up the subject. I just listened. I'm telling you, you don't have to go far in the church to find Christians that have that story that carried out. God met me in a dream and said my spouse was going to get cancer in about 6 months, to not be afraid. His grace will be on it and he's going to take him and it'll be okay. There's books out there like that. How God warned me ahead of time in his sovereign mercy and prepared me. And then because we believe it's God, even though it hurts and it's troubling, there's a sense of comfort there. It's a heavy topic because that situation's real. It's out there. It's happened to a lot of people. A lot of people. Don't be deceived. It's happened to a lot of people. And there's books, How God Took My Spouse. How God prepared me. He's so loving and sovereign. How God took my spouse because he knew best. And how he comforted me in the process. So if you're going through this, know that God's sovereign grace could be working in your life to da 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 da. But know your spouse. Well, your spouse is with the Lord if they're Christians. But here's what that thing does. It gets you to put away your sword. And you have a sword. It says above all, taking the sword of the Spirit. So if it's above all taking the sword of the Spirit, let's get the sword out of their hand through wrong believing. Then my head won't get cut off. See, if you're the enemy, you want the sword out of the Christian's hand so you don't get decapitated in the thing. Yeah. Come on, church, you cut off that head. Come on, girls, get violent. Tammy, cut off the head. Yeah, look at her. Woo! You're awesome. She is so awesome. She's like, yeah. Couldn't you see her now with her big Goliath sword? All the pictures. Yeah. Because it's not your attitude, your disposition, and your that takes off his head. It's his sword. So what Satan was trying to do to me was get the sword out of my hand and let my wife expire. And I didn't realize it completely till I was by her bedside when she was thrashing from bumper to bumper, growling like an animal. And that voice was so active while it was happening. That voice was saying, this is reaping what she's sown. And words that she had spoken were coming to my mind while she was bashing the bed. Frozen in a seizure, growling like an animal. And I was holding her big toe as she was thrashing, and I was, can't even explain the peace that was in my heart. Just because Jesus is Lord. That peace never leaves my life. It's in my heart. Jesus is Lord. A tragedy could happen. I mean, you know, but peace is in your heart because he is Lord. And I remember in my heart just saying, Lord, I've been hearing this for months. It's coming like it's you and sounding like it's you, but it just doesn't sound like you. That's what I said. I said I understand the whole reap and sow thing, but it doesn't sound like you. It doesn't sound like in this covenant that I preach, this is something you would sovereignly ordain. In my heart, I'm having this conversation, not in my lips, in my heart. And I said, and her, she's just thrashing the whole time. She was in that seizure for 1 hour. They gave her 2 different shots. Who's medical around here? 1 hour, froze, fixed position, growling like an animal. 1 hour, gave her 2 different shots to bring her out of it, and it kept getting worse. She was in it for 1 whole hour. You're in a seizure of that level for 1 whole hour. You get torqued in your brain a little bit. When they took the EEG, it was scrambled. Brain damage, because she was in that thing. They messed up in the hospital. I am not the kind of guy that would hold them responsible. We're in a war. It's not flesh and blood. They owe me nothing. The hospital owes me nothing. If they have something to help her with, fine. But just because they would wait too long doesn't mean I have a liability suit. Because if they weren't there in the first place, I'd have nowhere to go anyway. We just need to knock it off on the earth. Everybody's standing for their rights at the cost of others and holding everyone liable. The measure you judge is the measure you'll be judged. So when you hold people accountable for their mistakes, your mistakes are before you. Just know that. Because a doctor came in and saw my wife and yelled and got emotional. Because they care about people. They're not all just doing jobs. And she said, she was talking medical terms, but I'm not a fool. I knew she was irate and upset. She started giving commands, and she had my wife intubated in no time. This lady carried authority, boy. She walked in there and threw some, saw my wife, checked her. How long? What? That's what she did. She started giving, and they were rolling and foop, and a social worker, one of them social reps, came and pulled me out and started to talk to me. And I said, honey, I know what's going on and I know what you're doing. It's okay. You don't have any idea who you're talking to and there's no threat here. I just appreciate you guys. And there's I'm going to be with my wife. You don't need to say word. Everything's cool. I promise. Because she realized that I was standing there when all that happened, and that if anything really happened to my wife, then there's something they neglected. And all of a sudden, I'm holding them liable for the death of my wife instead of all the real things that are going on. And all of a sudden, the hospital's getting their hands slapped, and all they're doing is trying to help her and do whatever. Come on, we ought to get a grip on that. But while I'm standing there, because they kept trying to get me out of the room, and I kept telling them, you don't understand, I'm okay, I'm fine. And they're like, okay. So she's thrashing, and in my heart I'm having this conversation, and I said, Lord, if I've ever needed to really hear your voice, I need to hear your voice right now. It's just what I said. And when I said that, I heard this one word down in my spirit that was undeniably him, and it was mercy. And all of a sudden I realized it's the devil sounding like God for 2 months setting this thing up. Mercy triumphs over. And I burst out laughing with tears running down my face, left her togo, told him, hey, I'm leaving. I'll be back. Thanks for all you're doing. And I left the hospital. I was so okay to leave. I went home, wanted to tell my kids that, you know, Kimmy's in the hospital, but it's all going to work out because of God's mercy. And I didn't want you to hear through anybody else but me because I didn't want them freaking out. And I just wanted to be a daddy. And then I went back into the hospital. But in short time, her eyes were open and the brain damage was all gone and all that stuff. It was all powerful. One word I heard, mercy. When you hear a language that's not mercy, it's not God. There's one thing that Satan can't defeat, and it's the mercy of God. Because the blood of innocent Lamb Jesus, Lion of the tribe of Judah, how's that? Lion, Lamb, His blood is on the mercy seat. And then he sat down. No one has ever sat on the mercy seat in the old covenant. You aware of that? Nobody sits on the mercy seat. But Jesus sat down forever. Where did he sit? In a flesh human body. Right on the blood that he shed. Isn't that right? He sat right down on the blood. Saying, I have total confidence in the blood that I shed that it will accomplish what it was set out to do. And he sits there forever at the right hand of majesty on high on behalf of all flesh. And you better know that or you might be afraid. Are you getting this? Oh my goodness. His blood is on the mercy seat in the heavenly tabernacle. No one has ever sat on the mercy seat. It's like that no one could open the seal, the Lamb. No one could sit on the mercy seat but the Lamb. But he sat down where? On his own blood. Flesh and bone body. Touch me, a spirit doesn't have as I do. Don't be afraid. Touch me. I'm still a man. I'm not leaving you. I'm not going off to ride chariots in the clouds and play in my father's backyard. I'm not leaving you as an orphan. Don't be afraid. I'm not leaving you. I'm going where I most need to go. I'm going to release mercy for you. Because mercy is what the devil can't defeat. Mercy is when you get what you don't deserve. So he sits forever on the mercy seat in his blood. But you have to understand he's in a man's body. He's still a man. Timothy, the book of Timothy calls him the man. Sometimes we see him as a spirit. Sometimes we see him as just King of Kings, Lord of Lords, eyes flame of fire. You know, you need to understand how legal and powerful this is. He's a flesh and bone body. And his innocent blood on the mercy seat, Satan can't stop the mercy of God. Watch this. If I forgive the sins of any, they shall be. The more we walk in love, love is the greatest form of intercession, meaning intercedes on behalf of. I'm not talking about prayer. The word intercession literally means mediate, to intercede on behalf of. It can be prayer. It can also be the position of your heart. The position of your heart can be intercession. I can have great injustice coming at me and in my heart love them and cry for them and groan for them because they don't see who they are and what they are created to be. And there's a grace that comes on that situation because I won't let my heart get hard and I won't judge them. I can only see them for their value no matter how they're acting. That's all a form of intercession. Keeping my heart in a position of truth. My tears can be intercession. The definition of my tears are before the throne. The definition, the why behind your life determines the release of the power of God. It's not what you say, it's why you say what you say. That's why we say the right things all the time and get very little results in many cases. Because we're saying what we're saying for all the wrong reasons. Self-serving, fear, anxiety, despair, selfishness, whatever it is. You can quote the right things and not see the right results. Or you can live from the wellspring of love. Love's the greatest form of intercession on the planet. Because it always believes the best. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It always forgives. It always shows mercy. Love never fails. It's the greatest form of intercession. He says, I send you as the Father sent me. I send you and I fill you with my Spirit. And if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. But don't retain their sins or they'll be retained. Why? There's no release. There's no mercy. Mercy can flow through the body of Christ. Why? Because two have become one and he's reproduced himself in us. And we carry his heart through the earth. Not his power, just his anointing, just his miracles. We carry his heart through the earth. And just as everything's encompassed in Holy Spirit, everything's encompassed in the heart and love of God through Holy Spirit, and everything flows from that place. It's the greatest place to live. You can't afford to let your heart live outside of that place. Or you'll always slip back to this. In some way, shape, or form. And a little leaven leavens the whole love for lump, because then all of a sudden your prayers get a shift in the why. Faith works through. Do you get how clear that is? Where's true faith? It's found in love. So don't be a Christian, become his heart. How do you do that? Sitting on the bed, friend forever. Don't you go buy that CD and try to do what I did. You get your own song that means something to you. And if it's Friend Forever, it can be. But don't do it because I did it. I don't like sharing that stuff because I know what people do. They say, well, I got that CD and it didn't seem like I had any experiences. You sit there, okay, let's wait and see what God. No, it's all about you being sincere. It's about you wanting him. I can't try hard enough to live like God is. I would be more aware of my inability, wouldn't I? But I tell you what, I can get alone with him and open my heart and long, so long to be as he is and come into such agreement with life by the Spirit. A lot of our communion is fueled by that desire right there. Just longing to live by the Spirit and flow like he flows. And I so appreciate that I'm more than your choice. I'm your child. And I just thank you for your love for me. And it's all life-giving. Everything is yay. Serious. You guys are all wearing the yay God things anymore, you know. Then let that be your reality. It's all yay. Yeah. That's not an expression. That's a reality. It's all yay. Yeah. I haven't, in that 6-year window I talked about in my own home, I hadn't found anything that wasn't yay that whole period of time. Now, come on. If the things I'm telling you aren't for real, how do you go through that six-year window while you're pastoring with the pressure of pastoring on you, what people call it the pressure? I don't even know what that pressure means, but people say that. I'm in the ministry, and it's a glass house, and everybody is not inspecting and always looking over and weighing. And I don't understand that pressure. I feel pretty free. So, you get it? We've created a lot of this stuff through human reasoning. The closer you get to Him, using human reasoning unravels and is rendered voiceless and powerless. And your mind gets renewed in the spirit of it. Are we making sense? Am I too redundant with this? Am I going too long with it? Is it this good? Okay. Because the gifts flow out of this place, guys. So here's the deal. Here's how simple I'm going to keep this. And, you know, don't be disappointed in my teaching in this, and because there's a lot we can say. There's books and books written on the gifts. There's a lot we could say. And it's not that it's wrong, but here's how simple I feel in my heart to stay. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians 14. Pursue God is love. Watch this. Catch the language. Am I pursuing the gifts? I'm pursuing love with the desire for the gifts.
Oh, this is so healthy. I'm really going to teach good right now. I can tell. Oh my goodness. This is so healthy. Why? Because if you start pursuing the gifts, something will get weird. Something will be striving. You'll be weighing more how you're not flowing. And then all of a sudden when you do flow, it'll begin to be affirmation for you and identity instead of all flowing out of your identity. Watch this. Pursue love. And in that love, desire all that love is. And one of the greatest expressions of love is the gifts of God's Spirit towards humanity. The supernatural gift. Watch this. The more your heart becomes one with God, He can tell you anything. Because it's like telling Himself. And He can trust Himself with information. My wife got in bad trouble with just being hurt and all that, and I got saved, and God would come and tell me where she was, what she was doing. She started drinking a little and messing her up on some stuff, and God just getting herself in trouble. When I say messing up, just doing herself bad. Not doing me bad. Doing herself bad. Hello? Did you hear? Not doing me bad. Herself. Don't you forget that. If you think somebody can do you bad, you're already in trouble. God did you right. Ain't nobody do me like Jesus. He did me right. So He would come to work. I'd have work. He'd come because it was evening time, night, second shift. And He'd just say, right now your wife is, boom. And it was specific detail. And I'd be like, I'd lay down the case. Father, right now I just thank you for my wife. I just thank you for your blessing upon her. And God, I just thank you for forgiveness over her life. Father, I surely forgive her. I love her. You've shown me love for the first time. And I would begin to commune with God and intercede and take her face to the Father and present her before the throne. About 4 or 5 days into this, the Lord said, Dan, do you know why I'm showing you these things? And I said, yeah, so I can pray. He said, no, I'm showing you because I can. And I stood there and cried. And cried. And cried. Did you understand what I just said?
Yes.
He said, the reason I'm showing you is because I can. Because you'll respond like me. Because I made you to respond like me. I made you in my image to subdue the earth. And until you respond like me, I can't show you everything. I'm showing you because you hear and see like me. That way it's not about... What? She's where? Doing what? Oh my God. Shabba. Pray for my wife. Come on. Why would he? He doesn't tempt any man.
That's right.
Why would he show you stuff if you won't hear it like him? Why would he entrust you with things that you don't see through his heart? Do you know why I'm showing you these things? Well, yeah. I was like a little child. Well, yeah, duh. That was like a duh question to me. I'm like, God, come on. I'm not that. I mean, I'm not the brightest. I'm not the brightest bulb in the room. But I'm not that dull. I'm thinking, yeah, so I can pray, duh. And I was so wrong. No, it's not so you can function. I'm telling you this stuff because of who you've become. So that out of that being, you can do the right thing. Imagine, put yourself in my shoes that night. And he says, no, Dan, I'm telling you these things because I can. I was toast. I was just there. I was. I just cried. Because I realized he purified my heart. He cleansed my hands. I realized I was on the mountain of the Lord. I ascended into the holy place. It's called love. You can't find love without finding him because he is love. There's no love without God. You want to walk by the Spirit? Walk in love. You want to live by the Spirit? Walk in love. We get spooky on this stuff and Spirit of God. He doesn't even, it's a position of the heart. I'm not making light of the working of Holy Spirit. He knows that. Make sure you know that. Walking in love covers it all. It's right here. Pursue. And then he goes into a whole chapter on tongues and prophecy. What's first? Pursue love, but desire. So here's my little mini teaching. In my pursuing of love, I have a desire for it to have full expression. And the best gifts, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Okay. Ho, ho, yay. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. See, this is all big, one big letter. Do you know that? Yeah. It's not chapters. We kind of did that. But earnestly, in other words, sincerely, seriously, be real about this. Don't just, oh yeah, I'd love to move in the game. No, earnestly desire the expression of who he is through your life. That's really what we're saying. Don't see him as just a separate, don't see it as a gift package. It's the person of him. You see, it's the expression of him. They're attributes of who he is. So he is, who's the greatest gift? Him and knowing him. And all that he is begins to flow out in ways and expressions in times of need and hits the mark at the right place at the right time. Do you get what I'm saying? Don't see him as little separate entities and little presents in your sock or under your tree. Come on. Watch. Watch, watch. Earnestly desire them, because this whole chapter on chapter 12 is all about the gifts and the importance of the body and the gifts flowing and working together to express the full of who he is. So the whole thing in 12 is about the gifts. I mean, he has them all listed in the beginning chapters. He talks about the body. Then he goes on and he's talking a little about apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administration, various tongues. I mean, before that, he's talking about words of wisdom, right? Through the Spirit, faith and healings, working of miracles, discerning of spirits, interpreting. This chapter is chock full of the expression of God. It's chock full of what we call spiritual gifts, right? And at the end of the chapter, at the end of that, before he goes into 13, which is, he starts talking about something. Watch what he says. So after talking all about these gifts, he says, earnestly desire the... What? The best. Well, it's that word might be greater in your Bible. Who has greater? Greater. works, best gifts, greater gifts. What do you mean greater gifts? Well, what's the greater gift? Well, you can say that you all prophesy. Well, no, he has a whole list of stuff here. He's saying the greater gifts. And it's a simple interpretation. The greater gift is the one that's needed at the time. Now, if you don't believe that all the gifts are encompassed in the person of the Holy Spirit, then you're going to think that your brother so-and-so needs to be here now because he has that gift and you don't. And you run into somebody and you're out of state and you run into somebody in a mall and now you're starting to see that they need something in their life and you start feeling like, oh, I don't move in that gift, I move in this gift. Man, I wish so-and-so. So now I'm calling Joe on the phone and saying, hey, Joe, I need you to pray for them. And I can't get a hold of Joe because usually when you call him, you don't get a hold of him. He calls you back though, but you usually don't get him. But so the truth is I'm not limited. Why? Because even if Joe's got that gift flowing in his life and I'm aware of it, it's in me because it's in the person of Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit's in me. And I've desired the best gifts through pursuing love, that desire for the best gifts, for the full expression of the revelation of love in my life, it automatically will flow. And it's not a striving thing, and it's not a, oh, I need to be more spiritual, because I've watched Christian after Christian after Christian get all this teaching on the gifts and then get trapped into works and strive and actually see themselves as unspiritual unless God finally uses them. That's deception. If you have that belief, you're not in communion with God. How are you drawing close to Him and receiving His love if you feel like there's something lacking in you? And then you're only okay until He finally uses you with a word of knowledge. And then for 2 weeks you're telling everybody about the word of knowledge because it makes you feel better about yourself. And then after 6 months you're wondering when it's going to happen again. Come on, don't live that way. Live in Him. Are you hearing me? I'm not here to preach all about these gifts other than this. Earnestly desire. Man, be sincere. Be sincere to express Him through your life. Right? Not so that you affirm yourself and know that your life has value, but because He's in you and He loves the world around you and He loves you because you're in touch with love. Watch. Desire the best or greater gifts are the ones needed at the time. And then he says the most amazing phrase. And you know this is in your Bible, but look how powerful it is. And yet I show you a more excellent way. He's not limiting you to the expression of the gifts separate from who He is. He's not just getting you to identify yourself through the greater gifts. He's saying, look, earnestly desire them. It's good to desire Him, guys, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And he talks all about love and becoming love. Which means all the gifts flow freely through the position of love. Where's faith come from? Knowing God. Knowing His love. Faith is the spontaneous result of my love with Him. Because I know Him, I trust Him, I know His nature, I know His heart in the situation, I know His yes and amen in the situation. I'm not trying to have faith because I've read what the Bible says. Now I'm trying to believe it. Faith works through love. I'm in love. I see Him, His nature, His heart, His desire for humanity. And you see a situation and faith is the spontaneous result of love. It works through love. I'm not trying to have faith. I'm growing more in His love. Do you get it? Or need will just drive us and whip us. Like a cattle rancher into a corner and overwhelm us and get us striving to pray harder and try harder and pray more because there's so much need and everybody's dying and kids and cancer and people and loved ones. That's what happens. And we get driven by need and heartbreak and peril. And now we feel under the gun that we better get this quick. And all of a sudden it's a method, a release of power. All of a sudden it's just a doctrine fulfilled instead of a life changed because of love. Free in every situation and circumstance. Free in the face of life. Free. You see what I'm saying? Come on. We honestly, I'm not saying this in an arrogant way, we don't hear the gospel taught like this that much. We just hear it meeting the need. No, you and I are becoming like Him. He looks into our heart and sees Himself. And two become one, and He works with who He is in us to subdue the earth. Because it's why you're created. You get it? So we're going to desire spiritual gifts and what? Yet I'm going to show you a more excellent way. So he writes a whole chapter on love and at the end says, abide in love. There's faith and hope. There are great things. And there's love. And the greatest of these is what? Because without love, there's no faith. There's no platform for faith. And without hope, there's no platform of faith. But without love, there's none of those two. Right? And then, to start off the next chapter to nail down gifts more with prophecy, tongues, interpretation, put it all in order and the way it flows in a service and how it works in your personal life. He writes a whole chapter on that to give us understanding. But he kicks it off. He ends 12 saying, I show you more an excellent way. He speaks that excellent way all through 13 and starting out 14. He says, now that you understand this, you see where you're at. You're not pursuing gifts. You're pursuing love and desiring gifts. So in my pursuing of love, I desire that all that He is in that love manifests through my life. And I thank you that it's so. That is how simple it is to be in position to flow by the Spirit of God. It's all in your communion with Him. If you get one with Him, I said this yesterday, I think. If you get one with Him and He becomes one with you and He becomes one with your heart, you'd be amazed how much you actually prophesy because you say what God's saying. It's divine utterance. Prophecy is a divinely uttered word. So it's speaking by the Spirit. I think we get so caught up in the phenomenon of prophecy. For I see that you are a woman that has three sons. And da 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 da. That, who knows, that's great and that's awesome. But we tend to weigh ourselves among ourselves. And then we're wowed by that and go, whoa, and until I'm moving in that, I haven't arrived prophetically. And we get under pressure because of the fluency of some of these gifts in people's lives. No, that just shows what's available. And some people are even just in that office to share what's available and show, so teach and train so we can all flow in it. But the key is we can all flow in it because it's all encompassed in the person of the Holy Spirit and it all flows out of love and that's what we're becoming. So all of a sudden, all I have to say is good things. All I have to do is speak out of faith. All I have to do is encourage and edify. And every time I'm speaking, it has the prophetic nature of God. It's the prophetic power of God upon your speech. You're blessing and not cursing. You prophesy more than you realize, probably, when you're in that place, right? Because you're saying what He says. Jesus said, I only say what He says. That means everything Jesus said was divinely uttered. It was all prophetic. Cool. See how simple that is? It's time to become love. All of us just sitting on a bed, not being in a hurry. Here, let me paint the picture and we'll take a break. So I'm sitting on the bed. That CD's playing because it touches my heart. I relate to it. That's the only reason it's playing. And I'm just in that place, so desiring Him. Pursuing love, just your heart. You're changing me in this place. Just sitting here is making a statement to you that I'm not in a hurry. I don't have a life to live. I have a desire to know you and that you reveal yourself to me and manifest yourself to me. And I'm listening to that song. I totally trust you. I'll never be afraid again. I'll never be lonely again. I'll never be without wisdom and understanding again because you're illuminating my heart. God, you're my best friend. Jesus, I love you. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. All of a sudden, I'm just in this place and there's communion, there's fellowship. Might not even be praying a lot of words, but I'm expressing a lot of heart and a lot of heart motive. And God's meeting it all with grace. And He's fashioning me and molding me and making all those things that are real in my heart and true in my heart a reality to my soul. You get it? That's how faith works. That's how you're transformed. So you're in there and you don't want to ever live for yourself. You don't have to go through some long boo-hoo speaking out all the wretched things you've been. You've already done that when you repented and said, I don't want to live for me. You don't have to go through all that. You can sit there with the heart, I don't want to live for me. You don't even have to open that topic up. It's just in your heart. The only reason I'm here is because I don't want to live for me. I so want you. Possess me. Consume me. I have asked the Lord to possess me so many times. I don't even talk about it because it freaks people out, that word possess. But I'll tell you what, everything's trying to possess you. And if anything's going to own me and possess me and drive me and compel me, it's going to be the Spirit of the living God. So I just would open my heart up, and I've prayed that prayer so many times, I'll be possessed by no other, not even my own will or understanding or human reasoning. I'm possessed by the Spirit of the living God. I open myself up to you. Can I share one personal prayer he gave me a long time ago? I open myself up to you. Come into me in intimacy. Leave the seed of who you are inside my spirit, and I'll give birth to your will again and again and again. I thank you for possessing me. I've prayed that way a lot over the years. Spiritual union, communion. It's not a weird, flaky sexual thing. Come into me and leave the seed of who you are. I don't want an experience. I'm not looking for a spiritual orgasm. I want to give birth to you. Don't just touch me. And then I come back in the room to feel good. I'm not going in the room to feel good. I'm going in the room to become like him, to know him. Because to know him is to love him. And to love him is to become love. You following me?
Yes.
Better take a break. I love you guys. Take a break.